Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Experience travel the way it's meant to be. Fully guided and extraordinary.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Now, singer-songwriter Ryan McMullen is heading off on a tour around Ireland, the UK, Europe and Australia, including a headline gig in the Olympia in Dublin in April to promote his album Redesign. He's been on stage with Snow Patrol, he's written songs with Ed Sheeran, he counts Courtney Cox among his fans, and there's a Johnny Cash connection too. But he's here today in Studio 8, along with Danny Ball. Ryan, great to see you again. It's great to see you looking so well. We're going to chat in a moment, but first, this is Jenny and Johnny.
One, two, one. Jenny was a live wire. She would dance along the open road, floating like a wildflower. Caught in a breeze with nowhere to go. Though Jenny never really had a plan, love was never hard to understand. She was only looking for a certain kind of man.
Love that. Thanks a million, Ryan. Come back over and sit with me, Jenny and Johnny. Of course, you're from beautiful Portaferry in County Down. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, Portaferry, County Down. Although I've been out of it now almost as long as I was in it. So at some point, do I stop becoming the Portaferry boy and become the Belfast boy? I don't really know, but yeah, both great places.
It's a beautiful part of Northern Ireland, though, that not that many people know about. It's just very pretty.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. There's a boat that sails across, which, you know, it sounds kind of like lovely in that, but whenever I went to school across the water, so every morning I had to get on that boat. And in December, at 8 a.m, it is not as pretty as people make you think. It's freezing.
I can imagine. Listen, you're going to have to explain the Ed Sheeran, Johnny Cash connection to me.
Yeah, I was on tour with Ed, and you know, if you know what he's like, there's no days off with Ed. So we were playing in London. I think we had 3 nights in the O2 Arena or something, one of the big ones, and we had a day off between. And he said, "Oh, do you want to come with me? I'm going to write this song for a movie." And I initially was kind of going, well, I don't really want to go and watch you write a song for a movie, you know. Well, although, to be fair, being a fly on the wall would have been nice, but what he meant was, do you want to come and co-write this song? So I was like, oh, cool, this is really cool. And so the next day we're walking down the street in London and it's like this dingy street. And it's kind of how London is with the studios. It's a real dingy street and then you see this cool door and then you open it and it's this gorgeous studio. So we get into it and they have rushes for this movie, which was an Irish independent movie with Cillian Murphy and Andrew Scott and stuff. And yeah, just we got these rushes and we had to write while watching it kind of stuff. And I was playing this guitar and it was just really nice. And then the producer was like, do you like that guitar? And I was like, yeah, it just sounds really good. And he was like, yeah, it used to be Johnny Cash's. It basically was one of the black Gibsons. And you would just recognize it straight away, you know. So yeah, wrote a song with Ed for a movie with Cillian Murphy on a guitar once owned by Johnny Cash.
What a great story. Yeah. And of course, part of that, and I mentioned in the intro, is, you know, there was a lot of celebrity stuff that has surrounded you for years. Did you find some of that a bit overwhelming? I know you wrote at one stage about drowning in it a bit. Mm.
Yeah, it feels like I'm drowning in all my famous friends. It was more just a thing of, I'm very lucky to know these incredibly talented people. And to have their support in what I do, but it kind of always felt like there was an expectation on me to kind of reach that sort of height. And the truth was, I just didn't really know where I stood with it all. I didn't know whether I wanted any of that or if I was capable of that. And even if I was, would I be comfortable with it? So it's weird because I don't see them as the who they are kind of stuff, but I totally understand, you know, who they are. So yeah, for part of my time, it was like, I wish people would just call me Ryan and not Ed Sheeran's friend Ryan, you know, that kind of stuff. But as I've gotten older with it all, I'm super proud to know these people and have their support and stuff. So yeah, I'm a little less insecure about it all now. I'm a bit more flattered by it.
Yeah, and it's a tribute to your talent that they all recognise it as well. You have a lovely song for your mum on the album too. It's called Monarch. Tell me about Nuala and about the song.
Yeah, well, it was just one of the, I mean, I hate having to talk about lockdown because the sooner we can move on from it, the better in my own head, you know. But it was during lockdown and it was at this time where everything was so sensitive and the unknown and the unsureness of it all. But there was a stage in the lockdown where you weren't allowed people in your house. Mm-hmm. And my mum, we weren't staying in the house, but my mum and my dad and my brother and his family all stayed at our house, which was fine because we weren't there and they all were already in that kind of bubble thing. But she didn't change the bed sheets whenever they left. And at this time, it just was so heightened. So I just got grumpy and fell out with her, you know. But I fell out with her. It's so silly to think that. But while we weren't in harmony, I wrote this song for her because I wanted her to know that once we make up, again, how silly, but I wanted her to know that I loved her, you know. So I wrote her this song. And then whenever we did make up, I played it to her. And she just said, thank you. And I was like, what does that mean? Do you like the song or not? And she's never told me if she does or not. And I feel like that's her way of getting back at me, saying, you fell out with me for what? And you want me to say, oh, brilliant song? No, you can earn that one.
I'd say she loves it. It's beautiful. And I suppose, is it fair to say that there was a delay in getting this album together? Like many people, you hit a bit of a rocky patch with your own mental health. Mm. You seem good now.
Yeah, I'm great now. There was a load of sort of factors to the whole thing. I mean, there was a documentary being made about it, which to me didn't, I was kind of like, why am I getting a documentary made about me? Like, I haven't even released an album to, you know, all that kind of imposter syndrome-y kind of stuff. And then COVID happened, so it got delayed again. And then the track list changed, and which is funny, the album's called Redesign, but it's almost ironic at this point because it's been redesigned. The track listing of it has changed 5 times. And then it was supposed to come out in 2022, and I was really geared up to do it, but I just felt this real unsure, what is the point of what I'm doing? And I didn't feel, and again, I went from being like on tour nearly 5 years straight, bar a couple of days here and a couple of days there, mm-hmm. to being at home for 2 years. And then I was expected to go 100% again. And it's like, this is a terrible analogy, but if you had, say you had a van driving for 5 years at 60 mile an hour, and then you stopped it for 2 years,
yeah.
and then you tried to get it to run at 60 mile an hour as smoothly as before, it just wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I just kind of felt this real just panic mode of like, I'm not ready for this. And then you have this sort of responsibility to the people who you're investing in you, like the fans who bought the tickets and the people that are supporting you on the journey, and also the people that, you know, your agents and your promoters and all that kind of stuff. And you don't want to let these people down either. And most people were so supportive of the whole thing. And the ones that kind of were getting a chip on their shoulder, you know, we don't work together anymore for that kind of reason. And then I just sort of readdressed what it is I want, because I love to sing. And I love to perform and I love writing songs. And I feel like if I had done that tour, I don't think I'd still be doing this. You know, and it was really that kind of, I need to take care of myself here in order to get back to where I was. But in terms of today, I've never been better. I feel great. And even whenever I try to think and talk about, you know, what issues I was having, I find it really tough. Not because it's a hard topic to talk about, because I'm happy to talk about it. It's more just, it was an entirely different world and life ago that it's kind of hard to put myself back in them shoes and explain where I was in life. But yeah, I mean, as of today, I've never been happier, to be honest.
Which is fantastic. And you look great. You've got a beautiful voice. You're going off gigging with a full band. Are you buzzing? Or are you a bit nervous? Like, or are you just buzzing?
So this is the first time that I've ever toured with a project. Because I, you know, a quick sort of synopsis of me is I'm a civil engineer by trade, you know, I studied civil engineering, but I went to this gig and met a guy called Foy Vance, and then I did a gig, and the same guy came to that gig and invited me on tour, and on that tour, Ed invited me on tour, and it just sort of spiraled, but I never had a purpose for touring. I just kind of was riding this wave of, you're in it now. And this is the first tour that I'm going to do where it serves a purpose of a project.
Yeah.
That's really exciting to me because I've never done it. And the lads are brilliant. We're getting into rehearsals here next week. And it's just this, as I say, it's just, even the fact that it's spring, you know, everything just seems a bit sunny in life at the minute. So I can't wait for the tour.
And actually, we had Paul Brady on our show last week. He was fantastic. But I know you have credited him before as an influence, a big influence in you. Who else would you count as an influence?
Paul Brady's the man, isn't he? There's so many. I mean, the first band I fell in love with was Thin Lizzy, my dad's favourite band. And then, you know, through listening to them, I found Paul Rodgers of Free. And then after Paul Rodgers, it turned into Queen. And then Queen turned into the Beatles, Stevie Wonder. And then, you know, oh, well, actually then Snow Patrol was the next one, to be fair. And then found this guy called Foy Vance again. And then Paul Brady. And it all kind of just turned into this melting pot of, there's so much inspiration out there. Mm. But, and my mum, to be fair, you should hear my mum sing. She's a chanter. So,
which is great. Yeah. And your dad sings in the Portaferry Hotel,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he sings in there. Yeah, he doesn't sing any of my songs though, but he does the best yes. version of Grace that I know. So if you ever want to hear Grace sung the best way, Portaferry Hotel, Friday nights.
That's so good. So you were always going to be a great singer between your mum and your dad. Mm. Well, listen, I hope you have a great tour. You're off to the UK first, then you're touring Ireland, including the Olympia on the 17th of April, mm-hmm. then on to Australia, the mm-hmm. Netherlands, Germany. All the details are on your website, Ryan, which is ryanmcmullenmusic.com. Mm-hmm. And you're going to sing for us again this morning. Thanks a million for being my guest,
yeah,
Ryan.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
This is Static.
One, two, one, two, three.
Something going on inside my mind. I felt it all before, but I feel it's time. And I'm burning up, I'm calling out, I've heard enough.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.